Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Greg and Julie Alexander, who are founders of the Alexander House, a nonprofit apostolate dedicated to the education and enrichment of marriage and family life. The Alexanders serve on the Pastoral Implementation Committee for the USCCB Marriage Initiative, are members of the National Association of Catholic Family Life Ministers, and are trained marriage coaches. Greg and Julie have been married for over 20 years and have 7 children. With Greg and Julie Alexander, we go inside the pages of Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too, published by Servant Books. Greg, Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too. Boy, is this a timely book or what?
Oh, man, I think actually way overdue.
Mm-hmm. Tell us what brought you to the point where you felt compelled as a couple to write this book.
It was after a series of a bunch of invitations, if you will. Julie and I, of course, we've had the Alexander House, our own apostolate, focusing on marriage education enrichment for about 12 years now. And as we've been out for the last 12 years doing various talks, people would always come up and say, hey, have you guys ever thought about writing a book? We say, yeah, but, you know, we don't have time to sit down and write. And a couple of years ago, we were at Sacred Heart Major Seminary doing a presentation there with a bunch of other speakers. And in the crowd was a rep for Servant Books. And so, of course, after our talk, she came up. She said, God, your stories are so inspiring. It touched my heart. Have you guys ever thought about writing a book? I said, well, you know, again, people keep asking that. And I said, but, you know, we never really consider ourselves writers. And she said, well, why don't you write a couple chapters? I'll submit it to the board, and we'll see if they like it, and we'll just go from there. Long story short, wrote a couple of chapters. They liked it, and now we have a book.
Well, before the book, as you pointed out, Julie, you had the Alexander House. Explain that.
Yes, the Alexander House came as a result of Greg and I actually coming back from the brink of divorce. You know, we were married in the church, but never really understood God's plan or his purpose or anything about the sacrament of marriage. So we just, you know, we got married and began our lives and really bought into the ways of society where we wanted to be successful. We wanted to be, we wanted the money. We wanted the things that came along with that money to buy all the new cars, the nice house, the going on trips and the clothing and that kind of thing. You know, everything that we wanted that we thought was to be successful. Well, we bought into it so much that really our money and our careers became our God. Still continuing to go to church on Sundays because it's what you do, are supposed to do out of obligation, didn't understand really our relationship with God or anything that the church had to offer in terms of the beauty and the blessings that come with all the things with the sacraments. So we went down that relentless pursuit of trying to find happiness. And we got to the point finally when I actually accepted a job in San Antonio, where we lived in Austin. And I took the job because the money that they were offering was going to be much more than what we were already making in Austin. And so I traveled back and forth commuting between San Antonio and Austin, which was an hour and a half each way.
Wow.
The commute became a little long, so I ended up living in San Antonio and went to home to visit with Greg and the kids on Wednesday nights and on the weekends. And I see now that it was more of, not only was it to be something to be more successful and to get more money, but it was also an escapism, so we didn't have to deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I returned home one Wednesday evening, and Greg met me at the door, and he said, you know, I'm tired. I immediately responded, I am too. I cannot wait to go to bed in my own home. And he said, no, you don't understand. I am emotionally tired. I'm done. I think we need to get a divorce.
Wow.
So immediately I agreed, because that's how we were living our lives. You know, we were on this career path and this wanting to keep up with the Joneses and thinking that that was the most important thing in life. And sadly, it was our marriage and our family life that suffered.
Well, Greg, you both were married in the church. Now, shouldn't that have given you some kind of buffer to weather this?
Yeah, one would hope anyway. And that's one of the things, and why we're so diligent in the work that we do today, because there's a lot of programs, and even though we kind of pride ourselves on marriage preparation in the Catholic Church. Many, many times we don't give couples what it is that they need to know in order to survive the throes of life, so to speak. Or there's no continuing education to continue to help couples understand and revisit some of those things. And so I would venture to say that we were Catholic by name. And as I know now, we in no way, shape, or form lived our Catholic faith. And as a result, again, God allowed us to kind of hit that rock bottom, so to speak, before we were ready to come up and say, okay, let's do it your way, which is kind of what happened. You know, after we made that decision to divorce, we made the 911 call literally to our parish priest to see, Father, what can you do to help our marriage? We're in trouble. And he made the mistake of asking us, is this marriage relationship something you wanted? Of course, what we were living, of course not. We didn't want that. Mm-hmm. And he gave us a number to a Catholic therapist to go see, which, long story short, gave us a history lesson how we were like the Civil War, Jews like the North, where you like the South, and many, many times you're not going to see eye to eye. And he said, and sometimes you have to come to realize that maybe you were not meant to be together in the first place. And despite the fact that we left there hearing what we thought we wanted to hear, we just kind of coexisted in the home together until a couple months later that summer, we had a visiting priest who came into our parish to fill in for our pastor, and God, this priest was just a great teacher of the faith. His homilies were incredible, left us literally sitting on the edge of our seat. And June and I started saying, hey, let's get to know this guy. So we started meeting with him in between the two masses, and then we later found out he was the tribunal vicar for the diocese. And if we didn't know anything else about our faith, we knew at least that this was the guy that did that annulment thing. And maybe God was blessing us with this awesome priest to be our friend because he was going to show us how to get out of our marriage. That's what we thought. And so naturally, Julie called and set up an appointment to see him. He, in turn, thought we were coming by for just kind of a social visit as we're embarking upon this new friendship. But for the next 45 minutes or so, we proceeded to build our case as to why we can no longer stay married. You know, Father, he did this, she's done that. And just the whole finger-pointing back and forth. And finally, he said, look, guys, I understand your plight and your situation. Let me ask you a few questions. What is God's plan for marriage? What does our church teach about marriage? What are some of the writings of St. Paul and the various Holy Fathers pertaining to the sacrament of marriage? And Julie and I looked at each other kind of dumbfounded, like, we don't know, Father. You know, we're Catholic. We go to church every Sunday. We used to be in love, and now we're not. And we were simply hoping that you can show us how to get out of this thing. He said, but what I suggest is that you go back and find some answers to the questions that I've asked. And thanks be to God, we had the grace in our relationship for me to go back and start those studies that led us to come to understand the beauty and the goodness of what God had intended for marriage.
Thanks be to God is right. The work of the Alexander House, and in this particular book, we're talking with Greg and Julie Alexander about Marriage 911, their book on how God saved our marriage and can save yours too. And the real blessing is that there was something inside of you as a couple that at least wanted to try to get out of the marriage in a way that would somehow be okay with the church. Just the fact that you went to somebody who was a tribunal person, that says something right there. And yet many couples today don't feel that's a necessary step in trying to recover what they received in that sacrament. Has that been your experience in the couples you've dealt with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because again, for us, a lot of it was just sheer ignorance. You know, we knew marriage was a sacrament, but really didn't understand what that meant, nor did we understand the indissolubility of marriage in and of itself. But we had always heard about, you know, this annulment thing, and oh, wow, this is the guy that does that. And we just thought the annulment process was a simple going down and pleading your case, and they decide, okay, yeah, you deserve an annulment, and you get an annulment. And as you mentioned, it's so sad today that many, many Catholic couples don't even consider that. They just get a civil divorce, and they move on. There's a lot of times that we encounter couples in our service called marriage coaching that are in those subsequent marriage relationships without having gotten an annulment from their previous marriage, and they can't understand why they're having difficulty. And so a lot of what we do in our marriage coaching simply turns into kind of a basic catechesis program, if you will, allowing them to go back and even understand something as simple as, what is a sacrament? You know, and we all know the sacrament, I was designed and instituted by Christ to give grace. And I said, but you fail to understand, but it is truly the grace in that sacrament that if lived in accordance with the way God calls us to do it, that we have the grace to love, to care, to forgive, and to do all those wonderful things that are associated with a happy, holy marriage relationship. And if we're not experiencing that happiness, it's probably because we are falling short or are not participating fully with God in that sacrament in the first place. And so a lot of what we do in our marriage coaching is teaching those couples not only intellectually how to understand this, but what are some of the practical things that we can truly do within the confines of our home each and every day to death do us part, that's going to allow us to tap into the grace and allow us to live out this joyful marriage that God had intended in the beginning.
Now, Julie, was it a process of repairing your marriage or transforming it?
It was a process of transforming. And I say that is because we entered into it with a lack of understanding of what the purpose was, you know. And we share that in the book, again, as we got into marriage, thinking that, what is it going to do for me? And yet it's about how am I going to serve the other? And again, I always talk about this, and it's nothing to be prided on. And I would tell you, just to go back just for a second, you know, you talked about, when did we realize we needed to write this book? Well, when we were writing it, there were several times that I wanted to go back and shred it, because I didn't want to share with people our stuff, and I didn't want people to know really, you know, the depths of the issues that we had. And yet every time I thought of getting rid of it, I kept hearing a small voice inside saying, but if one more soul comes closer to Christ because of this that you've put in here, then so be it. And I left it because I knew that, you know, we started our marriage off on the wrong foot. We lived together before marriage. We entered into premarital sex before marriage. And so basically we started our marriage with a lie. Mm-hmm. And there's so many couples that do this and thinking that it's no big deal because, you know, we knew we were going to get married. And yet we don't realize the damage that we do, not only to our relationship to one another and our souls, but also in our relationship with God. So we started it off in the wrong context. So I would say it was a transformation, because the day that Greg called me into the room after he was studying and reading and learning God's plan for marriage and what our church taught, my heart was on fire for not only what I was hearing, but for him. It's as if I fell in love with him for the first time, because I couldn't wait to hear what else he had to tell me. I couldn't wait. Our conversations went from, you know, the checkbook and the kids' school and the grades and the weather to understanding the depths of our purpose and the reason we were created.
Mm. Now, in your story, I think it's important to share with everyone, as you did earlier, that you did seek counsel on that flush with divorce. You went to your local parish pastor. He sent you to a Catholic psychologist who actually suggested that maybe you two should be separated.
Yeah.
I mean, that's jarring in itself, wasn't it?
It is absolutely jarring, and it's sad because, you know, with all the marriage coaching we've been doing, that's been a lot of the experience that these couples have, and how sad it is that people at the lowest time of their lives are looking for help and assistance, and they're not getting assistance. The work that we always state, that if the problem is in the marriage, we work on it together to get it to where God is at the center. He is the purpose. He has the plan, and we help them learn his plan and live it out. Because, yeah, it's impossible humanly to make this work. But with God, all things are possible, and what we discovered and what we've shared with other couples, we literally see miracles happen every single day. Because when you start to share the truth and the beauty and goodness of God's plan for marriage, you give people hope where they think there is no hope.
Mm. Now, you will, I'm sure, encounter people who are having to enter into divorce because one spouse is recalcitrant. They absolutely have to have that divorce. They want out. And that's very painful for the spouse that desires to keep that together, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is one of the most painful things that we've seen, when somebody wants it and the other one doesn't. And yet we do tell that person, we tell the person who does not want to get the divorce to remain faithful to their marriage vows. And as hard as that is to hear or to say sometimes, it's amazing the peace that that brings, because we always talk about that when we get married in the church, we are stating that not only are we committed to this marriage, but we commit to God also, that we will be faithful and we will have our faithfulness and commit to that faithfulness till death do us part. And it's amazing how many times we get a sigh of relief from those individuals who stand for their marriage because they've been told by family members, they've been told by friends or coworkers, oh, come on, get on with your life. I mean, look at what he or look at what she's done to you. You deserve better. And yet internally, they know deep down inside that's not what they choose to do. They don't want to go away from what they committed to. And really, we've met some heroes who are standing firm and believing that maybe one day through their faithfulness, their spouse will return.
And it's kind of almost like, again, when Julie and I encountered the therapist that we went to see, you know, again, even though we heard what we wanted to hear, there's still something inside of us that still wanted that relationship to be, if you will. It's just that at that point, we had yet to find a way to make it work. Because again, you know, as we stand on the altar on our wedding day in front of God and family and friends professing this eternal love, it is precisely that, something that we want to live out to death to its part. But again, a lot of times because we haven't been properly prepared or we haven't had the proper models to show us how to do it God's way, so to speak, again, we experience those difficulties. And so sometimes it's the very difficulties we experience with each other in the marriage that makes us so resistant, that makes us so stubborn. But again, once we start to allow them to see that there is a beauty that can be regained, then couples become hopeful. One of the couples we worked with recently, they came to see us 3 weeks ago. It was on a Thursday, actually on the day where they were supposed to have their hearing to finalize their divorce. We worked with the brother of the wife in this relationship a few weeks prior. And he said, hey, before you do anything, go see this couple. Well, they came in to see us, and in this couple's relationship, the wife had committed adultery. And so one of the first questions I asked the couple is, do you want this marriage to work? The husband looked at me and said, are you kidding me? After what she's done? No way. He said, I don't even know why I'm here. He said, but let's go through this process. And so we went on to the first session. After the end of every first session, we give a forgiveness and healing exercise. And part of their penance of the exercise is actually to go through the sacrament of reconciliation so they can continue to build upon the grace that God has for them. Mm. I kid you not, they came back for the second week, and when I began to kind of ascertain what they experienced after the first exercise, the husband looked at me, he said, it's surreal. I said, well, what do you mean surreal? He said, I don't know what happened. I don't know what has come over me. He said, all I know is that I could care less what she has done in the past. I want to continue to come to you guys to see what it is that I have to do to become the godly man that I need to be for my wife and in our marriage relationship. And that was literally after 1 week of our first session.
Wow.
And so as we always kind of explain to couples, it's amazing what the power of God and His grace can do when we let Him in. And I always say one of the greatest gifts God has given us is free will. So if we choose not to allow Him to be a part, He'll sit back and allow us to continue to wallow in our sins until we reach out and extend that invitation for Him to come in. And when we do, it's amazing the transformations that can happen.
Wow, it is amazing. When you think about that and the story you just told, Greg, that here it is a sacrament that unites us. It's the sacrament of marriage that brings us together, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that presence of Christ in that relationship, that when we do wound each other, when there are those moments where it is we are both so broken, that, yes, you turn to another sacrament, that sacrament of reconciliation, where the blood of Christ is poured out into those wounds. And that is a key in what you bring forward, both you and your wonderful wife, Julie, in Marriage 911, how God saved our marriage and can save yours too. Because you do provide the tools and a real beacon of hope on how that can help marriages survive today.
Exactly. And that's one of the things as this good priest challenged us to go back and read and study, and as we were uncovering these nuggets, if you will, of gold in our faith that, again, had allowed for the transformation to take place, that's when we felt called to create an apostle to begin to share this good news with other people. You know, because, you know, initially we started asking other couples and friends of ours at church the same question that this priest asked us, you know anything about God's plan for marriage? And what we were finding was that the average couple was just as ignorant as we were. The fact that God even had a plan in the first place. And so for the last 4 or 5 years now, we've been working on a parish-based program called Covenant of Love that invites couples in the parish to come together once a month for fun, fellowship, and education. One, to begin to build a positive marriage community at the parish itself, but two, to be a resource or a source for that continued education and enrichment, to allow couples to come to know about these things. Because, again, you'd be hard-pressed to even find an average couple on the street, Catholic couple on the street, and ask, what is God's plan for marriage? What's the sacrament? And many, many times, they can't give you that answer. So I always say that if God has a plan for marriage, and we don't know what that is, and therefore, as a result, we cannot participate with him in the sacrament, guess what? We're supposed to be having difficulties. And so those difficulties is not God's way of punishing us, but for him to say, hey, wake up, Greg and Julie. I'm not a part in your life. I'm not the center of your life anymore. I need to be a part. And now, how do we allow couples to come to understand, to allow God to be a part of the relationship? How do we do that? And through our marriage coaching, through the Covenant of Love, and any other program we continue to create, would give couples the practical tools to be able to do that. And as you mentioned, as we discussed, and many of those tools lie within the heart of our Catholic Church already. It's already there.
Julie, Greg spoke just very poignantly about the couple that came forward and how the husband really was called after that great interior experience he was beginning to have, that relationship with Christ, to be a godly man. What has been your experience with women? What is it that women are called to do today in a marriage relationship?
That when we first began our coaching 12 years ago, all of our calls were from women that were saying, I need to work on our marriage. My husband doesn't want to. Well, I can tell you the pendulum has swung way the other way, where we have men, grown men who are doing amazing things in their careers, are calling us in tears because their wives are wanting to leave. And it's amazing how we've kind of gone totally in the opposite direction. Instead of being the heart of the home, it was kind of even in our situation where it was almost a competition. You know, it became, I wasn't feeling good. I wasn't feeling worth anything in our own home. So I began to search for that worth other places, and it started to come in my job. It started to become in my number one sales position where my name was at the top of the board. It started to become in the paychecks I was receiving that was more money than I ever thought I would make. So we start to get into these escapisms where we have a culture that says every woman needs to be out of the home and working, and every woman needs to do something with her life. Well, not understanding the importance of being a wife and a stay-at-home mom to help those kids, you know, to teach them in the heart of life. So what I would say is a lot of the things that become from women is we're wounded. We're greatly wounded. And you know, a lot of the issues, and I'll just, it's blunt, but it's honest, is comes from the contraceptive mentality mm-hmm. of where we have been objects placed in an area of where we feel used, we feel dirty, we feel cheap. And yet we allow it to be so because we think that's the only way that we can receive love. And yet when we realize if we're open to God, trusting God, open to our husband and trusting him in his leading us in that direction towards our purpose and our goal is to get to heaven, then, you know, we need to go outside of ourselves to serve and to be of service to others and starting right here with our spouse, our husband.
Both Greg and Julie, for somebody who is listening right now, that couple or that person who is in a relationship, in a marriage, and it is on the brink of disaster, what's the first thing they do? What's the 911?
The first thing they do is they can call us. 911 call to the Alexander House. We are here. We do coaching all over the world. Literally, we've been on Skype. We do long distance. Go to our website, www.thealexanderhouse.org, and we are here to help any couple. Our first priority is to help them have hope. God is committed to every marriage. So to know that God is committed to your marriage and to know that there is hope for every single marriage, no matter how desperate it seems, what we recognize is those that hit rock bottom are mostly the ones willing to do whatever it takes, which is, again, putting God in the center. So, yes, if there is someone out there experiencing something and they have no hope, know that there is hope. Read our book, Marriage 911. It tells you that it was a disaster. It was not good. And yet, look at what God did to something that was broken.
We spend a lot of in the preparation for marriage, which is great, but it's when you've received the sacrament and then you really get assaulted by the world, by the flesh, and by the evil one, that's when you need that sustaining nourishment to be able to make it through.
Absolutely. You're so right. And John Paul II talks about this also in Familiaris Consortio, how the church needs to be there, not only at the wedding itself, but also in difficult times, but also in that opportunities for enrichment. And so, again, we have to be that source of continued enrichment, again, giving the couples not only the education but the practical tools to be able to live out this thing called marriage.
Well, I just think it's phenomenal. Greg and Julie Alexander, thank you so much for everything you're doing, and I hope to be able to witness the blossoming even more of your wonderful work with Alexander House, and also to encourage everyone out there to be able to seek out Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too, by Servant Books. Just excellent resource.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and allowing us to be on here to share our good news and bad news, I guess you could say. But also, thank you for Catholic Radio. You know, again, as Julie and I were coming back to understand our faith, Catholic Radio was that source that we would tune into to hear the different stories and the different speakers and the different catechesis that gave us the understanding to allow us to be where we are today. So thank you as well.
Praise God. Thank you both.
You're welcome. God bless.
God bless you.
We've been going inside the pages of Marriage 911, How God Saved Our Marriage and Can Save Yours Too. For more information about this book or to obtain a copy, go to servantbooks.org, the website for its publisher, Servant Books, or you can obtain it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.